Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabhikhavati. Jai Hurad Humadava Kunabhikhavati. Pidana Malaba Kirivarada Hudi Nopijana Malaba Kirivarada Hudi Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tera Manachari Yamuna te Ravana chalti Jai Radha Madhuva Kunabhikhavati Kunabhikhavati Gopinana Balaba Kiribadadavati Gopi jana balaba giribaruda guri Yasuna nana braja jana randa una Nandana Raja Chanaranjana Muna Tera Manachari Yamuna Tera Manachari Jai Radha Madhuva Kunabhikhavati Jai Radha Madhuva Kunabhikhavati Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidikacharya Also Tada Siddhashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandanad Abhaktivananda Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Shadaharidas Thakur Vijaya. Rem Se Goho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaya Gadadha. Shivasiddhi Guru Bhakta Vrindagajai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopanath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Kijai. Vrindavanam Kijai Maturanam Kijai. Jagannath Sami Kajai, Yamunamai Kajai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kajai, Sampaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Adigo. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Buddhale Shimati Bhakti Vananta Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschatra Deyashatarni. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 36th Chapter, Text 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Iti Agyapyarta Tantra Na Ahuya Yadu Pungavam Grihitva Panina Panim Tato Akuran Uvacha Ha Ityagyapyarta Tantrajna Ahuya yada pungavam Gahitva paninha panhim Tato kruram uvachaha Ityagyapyarta Tantrajna Ahuya yada pungavam Grihitva paninha panim Tato kruram vachaha Ityakya pyartha tantrajya Ahuya yada pungavam Grihitva Grihita panina panim Tato kruram vachaha. Okay. Iti, with these words. Agnapya, ordering. Arta, of personal interest and advantage. Tantra, of the doctrine. Nya, the knower. Ahuya, calling for. Yadupungavam, the most eminent of the yadus. Grihitva, taking. Panina, with his own hand. Panim, his hand. Tataha, then. Akruram, to Akrura. Uvachaha, he said. So translation, having thus commanded his ministers, Kaṃsa next called for Akrura, the most eminent of the Yadus. Kaṃsa knew the art of securing personal advantage, and thus he took Akrura's hand in his own and spoke to him as follows. You can repeat. Having thus commanded his ministers, material benefits or the scriptures concerning them, but not the scriptures about Dharma. Akrura was the most trustworthy of the Yadus, Yadupungavam. Went offline or something? Speakers are not working at all?
Yeah.
Oh. Let me look at it for a second. Let's see what the problem is.
Hey, Krishna.
Yeah, I see the problem. Microphone. All right. Yeah, but not on Zoom. Hare Krishna. Anyway, they can just go on. I can't hold up the whole class for that. Okay, let me read Jiva Goswami's commentary.
It's coming on Zoom.
Yeah. Okay, so people shouldn't complain. Kamsa knew the conclusions Tantra about artha, material benefits, or the scriptures concerning them, but not the scriptures about Dharma. Akur was most trustworthy Yadus Yadupungavam, therefore he was suitable to go. He called him not because he was Kamsa's man, but because Krura could deliberate on matters skillfully. He held Akur's hand to show affection and to make sure that he would not tell others what he would say. He spoke to him among his own people, not others, Tata or Tatra. Ha means he spoke clearly. So, Ichyagya Pyartha Tantra Gya Hahuyad Yadupungavam Grihitva Panina Panim Tato Kruranu Vacha Ha. So, Om Gana Timuranda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, we have these four interests of human life: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And it looks like Kamsa is just interested in three of them, right? Dharma, artha, and kama. Good old kama, sense gratification, and not moksha. So these are called the purusharthas. Of course, we know there's the panchama purusharta, that means the fifth interest of human beings, which is Krishna consciousness. But for this particular discussion, we're talking about artha. Now, artha sometimes Prabhupada translates as economic development, which is really interesting. But in this particular case, we have the translation of artha as personal interest and advantage. And interestingly enough, there's shastras in personal interest and advantage. And, you know, obtaining things for oneself, enjoying for oneself. There's shastras in how to do that. That's pretty interesting. I should find those shastras. And actually, I found those shastras. They're called the Artha Shastras, which is mentioned here. And there's famous people, both in India and in the West, and we're going to ask our audience, not Mother Urmila. We're going to ask our audience about the famous people or persons who are authors of these Dharma Shastras, not Dharma Shastras, the Artha Shastras. And also, there's one of them is also an author of what's called the Nitya Shastras, which is rules for human beings. So, who would be considered an author who Prabhupada quoted, who's an author of Chanakya Pandit? And who in the modern day, well, not so modern day, would be considered an author of artha? Just artha devoid of moksha. No, don't say. Not Mother Urmila. It starts with an M. M? Ma? What? No, not Maslow. Oh my God. I hit my head on it. My head again. Machiavelli. Machiavelli. It's the same thing. And yesterday I was actually looking into Chanakya's history. And, you know, Prabhupada said that Chanakya was a devotee, but not a pure devotee. And Prabhupada would quote him often, not as Artha Shastra, but as Nitti Shastra. That is, different things that he said about someone has too much devotion, don't trust him, and he's a thief, you know, like that. Things like that. Prabhupada quoted Chanakya a lot, and I think originally in our Gurukulas in India, they were supposed to study the shastras, the quotes from Chanakya. But we're not talking about the Nitya Shastra, we're talking right now about the Artha Shastra. So Chanakya, not being a pure devotee of the Lord, did many things that were, let's say, completely, I don't know, maybe not completely mundane, but, you know, 99% mundane. And this is what happens when you take away devotional service or take away compassion from artha, the Artha Shastras. Because the Artha Shastras are bona fide. They're meant to be used, and I'm going to mention something about them in the future, in the last part of class, how they're meant to actually be used by devotees to accomplish things in this world. And, you know, political dealings, even the dealings that we find that Chandanamarga tried to teach Prahlad Maharaj in the Asura Kula, like sweet words. How do you deal with an enemy? You get sweet words, and if that doesn't work, then you can give the person a position, and if that doesn't work, some of the descriptions describe bribery or divide and conquer, Veda, and then there's the threat, and finally what Prabhupada called argumentum ad vaculum. Argumentum ad vaculum means what, the stick. So these are injunctions that are there, and they can be used by devotees sometimes too, because devotees sometimes have to be in charge of a kingdom, devotees have to manage the Krishna conscious movement. And I'm going to talk about how Prabhupada used these things, but not devoid of Krishna consciousness. But first I'm going to talk about Chanaka's history, which is quite interesting. Chanaka was a great pundit, and once upon a time, he became insulted by this king called Nanda, not Nanda Maharaj, of course, someone quite different, because it's described in the history that Chanaka was not so good-looking. In fact, some people say he was quite ugly. So he came into the king's palace, and he wanted some charity or something, and the king actually got really angry with him, and he insulted the king, and the king was getting ready to kill him. And so he was able to escape somehow or other. And so he decided to get even with this king. And he decided, I'm going to find someone who could be a better king than this king. And that person's name was Chandragupta. Some of you may have heard this story. You know this story. And he discovered Chandragupta when Chandragupta was a little boy. And Chandragupta had all the signs of a king. He was with his friends. And basically, he was like the boss of all of his friends. Like Prabhupada once said that when he was young, he was like the boss of all of his friends. So, of course, Prabhupada wasn't a king in the political sense, but Prabhupada was the king of devotees. So what happened is that he chose this Chandragupta and challenged this king, Nanda, and he was actually defeated the first time. And so he had to run away with Chandragupta. And the king said to his soldiers, this is just showing how cruel this Arthashastra can be sometimes, and how manipulative. The king sent his soldiers to attack Chanaka and Chandragupta. And Chanaka, being very intelligent, understanding how to manipulate people, he told the king, Chandragupta, who wasn't quite king at that point, just go into the river, just stay in the middle of the river, and you'll be protected. And so Chanaka, he put on a guise, a disguise, so he didn't look like Chanaka anymore, and he just acted like a sage on the bank of the river. So the soldiers came to try to attack. One particular soldier came to attack Chandragupta. And the soldier asked this sage, who was actually Chanakya, he said, where is Chandragupta? And Chanakya said, he's in the river. There he is right there. So the soldier actually took off his armaments to attack Chandragupta, and Chanakya just, like, killed him through trickery. This is Arthashastra right there, you know, trickery. And then other stories about him are really interesting stories. How in later on in attacking King Nanda, he enlisted the help of another king. And this other king he was going to give part of the kingdom to, that was the deal. But he arranged that after he won the kingdom and got rid of King Nanda, he was able to kill this other king by arranging a marriage with a Vishakanya girl. Vishakanya means a girl who throughout her life has been eating poison, Prabhupada talked about this. And so she gradually takes more and more poison. Of course, she develops immunity to the poison. And then when she, I guess, kisses or embraces or whatever the enemy soldier dies. So he was able to get rid of his opponents like that. In fact, even Chanakya was feeding poison to Chandragupta so that Chandragupta would be immune to poison later on. And what happened is that one time, I mean, there's so many stories about Chanakya. And so what happened is one time that Chandragupta had fed some poison, had taken some poison in his meal, and Chandragupta's wife also took a little bit of that poison, and she died, and she was pregnant, and she was getting ready to give birth. And Chanakya, you know, just being very strategic, I mean, I hate to tell this story, he cut her open to take the baby out. And that was the next king in that particular dynasty. And the king after that, so there's a whole dynasty, the Maurya dynasty, that was established as a result of Chanakya's manipulation. And so the king, so the dynasty, and then Buddhism was established by the king. What was the king's name again?
Ashok.
Ashok was actually the grandson of Chandragupta. So very interesting story. So anyway, so let's get back to what Arthashastra is. I looked up the definition of Arthashastra. It's a ancient Indian Sanskrit treatise on statecraft, political science, economic policy, and military strategy. And there's a lot more divisions for Arthashastra. There's the need for law, economics, and government, king's duty, officials, advisors, and checks on governments, causes of impoverishment, lack of motivation, and disaffection among people. In other words, how to control people, civil criminal law and court systems, marriage laws, wildlife and forest management, mines, factories, and superintendents, spying, propaganda, and information, war and peace, and negotiation, and taxes. So, one may question, so where or how does this Arthashastra fit in with a devotee's life? And I'm going to quote from the Isopanishad, stating how we have to cultivate this material knowledge in order to be proficient and successful in our Krishna consciousness. And the verse from the Isopanishad and part of Prabhupada's purport, vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tad vedo vayam saha avidyam ritam tirta vidyam ritam ashnute. And the translation is, only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. Really interesting. So, in other words, we're meant to engage in what's called yukta vairagya, using this material world in Krishna's service. And in order to do that, we have to have some material knowledge. So we have to cultivate knowledge of avidya, which is material knowledge. And Prabhupada in his purport talks more about this, and I took some excerpts out of his purport. Only one who can learn the process, and that's the translation. Sri Upanishad instructs us not to make one-sided attempts to win the struggle for existence. In other words, everything has to be balanced. Everyone is struggling hard for existence, but the laws of material nature are so hard and fast, they do not allow anyone to surpass them, and in order to attain a permanent life, one must be prepared to go back to Godhead. The process by which one goes back to Godhead is a different branch of knowledge, and it has to be learned from Vedic scriptures such as the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. To become happy in this life and attain a permanent blissful life after leaving this material body, one must study the sacred literature and attain transcendental knowledge. So, the path of avidya, or advancement of material knowledge for sense gratification, is the path of repeated birth and death. As he exists spiritually, the living entity has no birth or death. Birth and death apply to the outward covering of the spirit soul, the body. Death is compared to the taking off and birth to the putting on of outward garments. This does not mean that all activities for the maintenance of the body should be stopped. There is no question of stopping activities, just as there is no question of wiping out one's temperature altogether when trying to recover from a disease. To make the best use of a bad bargain is the appropriate expression. The culture of spiritual knowledge necessitates the help of the body and mind. Therefore, maintenance of the body and mind is required if we are to reach our goal. The normal temperature should be maintained at 98.6 degrees, and the great sages and saints of India have attempted to do this by a balanced program of spiritual and material knowledge. They never allow the misuse of human intelligence for disease, sense gratification, and finally in the purport. Human activities, diseased by a tendency towards sense gratification, have been regulated in the Vedas under the principles of salvation. This system employs religion, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation, but at the present moment, people have no interest in religion or salvation. And that's excerpts from the Isopanishad. And then there's a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Krishna Sangita. And the question raised in the Krishna Sangita is, which scientific knowledge is the swan-like Vaishnava's expert? Or the swan-like Vaishnava's expert? Problem with grammar here. Books on physical and mental science, books on industry, books on languages, books on grammar, and books on poetry are known as Arthashastra. Some physical, mental, familiar, and social benefits are obtained from these writings. The name of these benefits is Artha. The advantage of these books is that by studying medicine, one can get a cure. By studying music, one can get the benefit of happiness to the mind and ears. By material scientific knowledge, various wonderful machines are created. By astrology, one can get the benefit of understanding subjects like proper and improper times. Those who study such Artha Shastras are known as Arthavit scholars. The Smriti Shastra establishes Varnashram Dharma and are also known as Artha Shastra. The Smarta Brahmanas, or Smarta scholars, are also known as Arthavit scholars because of the main purpose of their occupational duties is to protect society. Spiritual scholars practice spiritual life with these Arthas. Very important quote. Spiritual scholars practice spiritual life with these Arthas. Swan-like Vaishnavas are never opposed to discussing these scriptures. They extract the supreme goal of spiritual life from these Artha Shastras and become worshipable among the Arthavit scholars. The Arthavit scholars are happy to assist them in ascertaining the absolute truth. The swan-like Vaishnavas are present in the battlefield as negotiators. They do not hate or reject various sinful persons. Swan-like Vaishnavas are always engaged in purifying the hearts of sinful people by giving public lectures, friendly advice, and confidential instructions by rebuking, setting an example, and sometimes punishing sinners. So, I'm going to give an example of how Prabhupada used sometimes political intrigue in the service of Krishna. One example, and there are several examples, is when Prabhupada was dealing with Mr. Nair. Srila Prabhupada, of course, the devotees had actually torn up the contract, and Prabhupada wanted to reinstate the contract to purchase the Juhu property. So Prabhupada was meeting in a particular evening with Mr. Nair, and Mr. Nair was accompanied by his guru. And his guru was there to protect Mr. Nair from the influences of Srila Prabhupada, somehow or other. Protect him. So Prabhupada, very strategically, started yawning. You know the story? Oh, you don't know the story? Some of you know the story. Prabhupada yawned, you know. And then Mr. Nair said, Swamiji, you appear very tired. And Prabhupada said, yes, I should take rest. We should all take rest. So they all went to take rest. Mr. Nair and his guru in one room and Prabhupada in another room, but Prabhupada didn't take rest. Prabhupada told the devotees, you go very quietly into Mr. Nair's room and tiptoe into Mr. Nair's room and wake him up, but don't wake his guru up. Because his guru was meant to protect him from being cheated by Prabhupada. Transcendental trickery. And so basically, Mr. Nair came in, and Prabhupada was able to just like, because he was like half asleep too, Prabhupada was able to deal with him in that particular situation. So that's definitely Artha Shastra right there. You know, using material needs, means, even politics. I mean, even we have, Srila Prabhupada commented that Ramananda Roy, he was using his expertise in politics to convince Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see King Prataparudra, because he was praising King Prataparudra. And then, of course, Krishna used political intrigue. For example, when Duryodhana was going to see his mother, he was naked because his mother was going to look at him, Gandhari was going to look at him, and he's becoming vulnerable in every part of his body. So Krishna said to Duryodhana, you should not appear before your mother naked. And you should wear some, you know, fig leaf or something like that, or some leaves. And so he put them on, and therefore he was vulnerable in his midriffs. So Krishna was very, very tricky. And if we look at when Prabhupada was, another story is when Prabhupada was negotiating to buy the Detroit temple. You know, just to get a, Mother Irma would know this, but to get a low price, Prabhupada actually asked him to give the whole temple, to donate it. And then Prabhupada was able to negotiate successfully. So there's so many stories where devotees actually, pure devotees even used political intrigue and Artha Shastra in order to serve Krishna. But it has to be balanced, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one has to balance these things. And so one has to use Artha Shastra in order to just survive in this material world, in order to manage. We're not against these things, but it has to be done with the purpose of serving Krishna, and that's called Yukta Vairagya. So, any questions or comments? Questions or comments? Yes. Oh, Mother Irma, yeah.
Two things. First of all, from your description, it sounds like these are primarily for suffering. Sounds like it's pretty much.
Yeah, but as I mentioned, we found Prabhupada using it.
Right. It sounds like Vishatriya.
It's primarily for Kshatriyas, yeah. Yeah.
She was like a co-star in the drama, and she had just been offered her own Indian television show where she would be the main star. And instead, she said, well, let me just give it all up and move into a temple ashram.
And they were glorifying this, and I thought, how much better it would be for her to take this position and use it in Krishna's service. You know, it's just like this concept that we're a world-denying religion, and that the perfection for everyone is to give up all their occupations and just live in an ashram. And it just struck me as, we're never going to establish Varnashram Dharma if we do that. We're never going to spiritualize the world if we do that. You know, it just, a young woman, I mean, somebody like in her 20s, you know.
Harrison was getting ready to, said to Prabhupada, what do you want? Yeah, I can renounce everything and join you. And Prabhupada said, no. So Prabhupada was extremely strategic. That's why I said that this Artha Shastra has to be used by all the, well, maybe not the shudras, but the Vaishyas have to use it too. Like Prabhupada said, a Vaishya has a simple lie. For you, there's no profit.
We're all government things, though. So maybe there's other parts of the...
Like Prabhupada used it. You know, of course, Chat. Here. says as an absolute statement. It's absolute statements. So who else has a question?
How do we successfully implement a consciousness of what it's stated in the Ishapanishad and what Mother Urmila was just saying? Because devotees have a tendency to simply want to, well, hear and chant and maybe take care of, you know, very insular activities, and they're maybe rightfully a little afraid of becoming too worldly. So what's the magic balance?
If one has good sadhana and takes advice from other Vaishnavas, advanced Vaishnavas, one can determine what's the proper balance in their own lives. I mean, some people may not be capable of dealing with the material world without deviating from Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, we need guidance from superior Vaishnavas. I think that's the key. Whereas others can deal with the material world and not get affected as long as they have good sadhana and are very careful in dealing with the material world. That's why, you know, sometimes I get a little upset with people who want to simply go and retire in Mayapur at their ripe old age of 40 or a ripe old age of, you know, 41 or 35 or something like that. Because we're meant to be active. Just like I was speaking recently with one of the devotees who's working with me, Pran Govinda, very, very nice devotee. He said, I'm really attached to the Bhagavatam. I just want to stay in Mayapur and read Bhagavatam all the time. And I said, no, you're a fantastic preacher. You know so much about the material world. You're a humble devotee. You can, plus you're supposed to replace me. That's my succession plan. And I said, no, you teach Bhagavatam. Yes, you teach Bhagavatam every day. You go online. You can teach for hundreds of people online. But you're not meant to retire. Sannyasa is not meant to retire. Sannyasa is meant to, like Prabhupada said, in the morning you go to the bank. You give class. And in the afternoon you go to the bank. To be practical. So, any other questions or comments? Yes.
I was just thinking about the comment that Urmila made. And one thing I was reflecting on is that each individual person has to know what they're capable of. So for one particular person, they could work, you know, within Bollywood and be able to maintain their spiritual life. And for someone else, the kind of association that they would have and the demands set upon them might be more than they're able to handle for their own spiritual life. So it seems that each person, like Prabhupada said, like Gajendra the elephant, like what are their strengths and what are their weaknesses and in what area can they actually maintain Krishna consciousness?
Good point, and it's also not an all or nothing thing. And let's say if one wants to work in Bollywood, they could work in Bollywood for 1 month a year or 2 months a year, and the rest of the time do bhakti. So it's not so black and white like that. But what Mother Irma was commenting on is that praising the person for dropping everything. That was their comment. Not that the person's own judgment, isn't it?
Yeah.
But praising...
Just the idea that was more glorious.
That is more glorious. Jai, Shishi, Radhigalukananda, Radhigalukananda ki jai.
Adi Purusha, Tamaham Bhajan. Ananda Prako Kitamaniya Nishesha Shobha.
Hare Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Govindam. Jai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala Ye Chayaya Jagachurai Krishna Pai Te Nai Trinakuri Samana Nahiya Richard John McLean at the time Say Pachu Sana suke Vidya kule Ki gore vetara Pashadiya Atsachere Satchakurimaya Jaya Karuna Vaibe Rache Radha Krishna Vaibe Narone Jai Charada Chugani Narone Jai Charada Chugani Nityaya Charada Satya Tahara Seva Kanitya Nityai Padas Satakuru Asha Nityai Padas Satakuru Asha Narottama Boro Duke Nitsai Nare Boro Duke Rako Ranga Charana Bacha Narottama Boro Duke Nitsai Mora Kosa Suke Rako Ranga Charana Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shuji Tala Yechayaya Jakachurai Krishna, Krishna, Hare Mate Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Narad. Hey, Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa Paravidikacharya, also Teta Sitashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Sabaya Chalanad Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Hridas Thakur Ki Jai, Premse Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha, Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sayam Kund Radha Kunda Giri Gopadan Ki Jai, Vrindavanam kijai, Maturidam kijai. Jagannatha Swami kijai, Yamunamai kijai, Srimati Lasi Devi kijai, Sambhita Bhakta Vrindi kijai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srinabhavad kijai. Bastai Puddhali Srimati Bhakta Vrindavanam Swami. Stays there, Swati Devi, or whatever channeling of this is, everybody was dedicated. In this material world, which is progressing toward hell, there's always a blazing fire, and everyone is struggling hard without finding peace. Therefore, if the world wants to have real peace, it should take shelter under the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, which are cooling like the shining of millions of moons. Unless one takes shelter under the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, it will be very difficult to approach Radha Krishna. Anyone who does not establish the relationship with Lord Nityananda is simply spoiling their boon of a human birth in the animal propensities of sense gratification. Never saying the names of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they become absorbed in so-called material enjoyment, and their academic education and birth in a high family or great nation will not protect them at the time of death. They have become maddened by a false concept of bodily life, and thus they have forgotten their eternal relationship with Lord Nityananda. Such forgetful persons accept the illusory energy as factual. When you achieve the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then you will be able to approach Radha Krishna. Firmly catch hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are not illusion. They are a fact, and anyone who engages in the transcendental loving service of Lord Nityananda immediately achieves their transcendental position on the spiritual platform, which is eternal and blissful. Therefore, always try to catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Narottama Das Thakur says, "My dear Lord Nityananda, I am very unhappy, so I am praying to you to make me happy. Please keep me in a corner of your lotus feet." Narottama Das Thakur ki jai. Shikshashti.